For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
If you combine what Pete Schrager had to say today on First Take,
yeah,
and then combine it with the James Palmer tweet today that he knows of one team in the top 10 that loves Travis Hunter, I think you can kind of go of, I can sell you a different team for each player. Like Chicago, yeah, with Ashton Jeanty. That could be the finishing piece that allows you to move from 10 to 2. You've had three first rounders in the last 2 years, so if you give up a future first, it's not going to kill you. Your roster is in kind of the right, you're headed towards the right spot roster build-wise. Jeanty makes a lot of sense.
And Jeanty's the type of guy that it's going to be a win of a pick. Like, you're, yes, going to have, and there's not much doubt there. Ryan Poles desperately needs a win of a pick.
Now, then you go to Travis Hunter. I mean, I think Carolina, who could either use an elite cornerback in Evero's system, or, I mean, you got Bryce Young, and you are desperately in need. Like, Adam Thielen is still one of their two best wide receivers.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter as a potential number one wide receiver would make a lot of sense for that team trying to move up, even though I think they're thinking defense other than that.
Well, but that's why he'd also make sense for Jacksonville to, mm-hmm, pair with Trevor Lawrence. He makes sense for the Patriots with Drake May. Like, there's a lot of places that could use a guy like Travis Hunter.
And I think for Abdul Carter, it's probably the Patriots. I think the Patriots have been comfortable of, we're going to let you slide, or one of the two players to slide to us.
Patriots are kind of in that spot that the Bengals were a few years ago when they drafted Joe Burrow. It's like, we got our quarterback, yep, now we need to round out the rest of the team.
So whether that's Hunter as a wide receiver or Carter, that's an elite level player that I could see them going up for. And I think this proves something that I've been saying. 99 times out of 100 in the draft, position players aren't the thing that teams move up for. What I think makes it different, and why I think it's so specific and so important that Schrager calls out those three players, those are the three franchise players in this draft. Like, people debate about Mason Graham. People debate about Will Campbell. People debate about a couple other kids there, the Georgia edge rushers.
I'm just happy you put Jeanty in there.
The three non-negotiable, these guys are going to be the franchise players. It is Jeanty, it is Hunter, it is Carter.
I agree 100%. I'm just happy you put him in there. I feel like every time we do this conversation, people are like, oh, the two blue chippers, nope, and they just leave Jeanty aside. Now, positionally, he doesn't give you as much value. That's clear and obvious. He is just a running back. But if you talk about the actual overall talent and ability, it's right up there with everything that Carter and Hunter can do.
So I'm going on record here and saying, all right, guys, I'm team trade down first. And we did have, I want to say it was Jason, maybe I'm wrong here because we've got a few replies here. No, it was Eric saying, what happens if Tennessee doesn't take Ward? I would be shocked upon shocked if, yeah, they took somebody else at one.
And they, by the way, just minutes ago said and cemented the idea that they are staying at number one and they're not, yeah, trading out of that. So they publicly said that. And they're not going to tell you right now, Cam Ward, because it's still a TV product.
Yep.
And the NFL gets real mad when you do that early.
And so, and Tennessee and Cleveland are two teams that want to play nice with the league because their, yeah, ownerships are not maybe beloved by the league. I'd be shocked. Now, If Ward comes to two, that becomes a different conversation. But no, it's trade down, and then it's a real debate between Hunter and Carter. And I think I have officially reached the point where I'm annoyed at the dialogue around Travis Hunter.
So what's annoying you about the dialogue?
Just the fact that I've heard one too many people say he's a unicorn and that's why you have to take him.
See, the Ohtani thing is what made me mad.
But I think it's right in the same line.
It's unfair that it's what made me mad, but it made me mad. Now, the unicorn side of things, though, is it because you don't think he's as talented as a wide receiver and as a cornerback to be given that distinction?
I think people right now are saying, I want him to be good at two spots, and I don't know he can be great at two spots. So basically, you're making a choice of either we let him be good, really good, whatever, at two spots, and maybe still harm some of his ceiling there, or you make him specialize on one side of the ball and live up to it. I think so much of the rub with Travis is that he's a two-way player. And I think this could end up being a conversation. You get 5 months into the season, he gets hurt once, and the team goes, all right, he's coming back as a wide receiver, and that's it. It's going to take one injury
scare.
And then
John Taffer, you just shut him down.
To take the specialness. Oh, so by the way,
I think Travis
he's also
Hunter,
not going to do it.
Travis Hunter's done a lot of work ahead of time to make sure that people don't believe that. The comments he made last week, obviously, and then I don't know if you saw yesterday or not, but I guess his camp put out there that they're making Roger Goodell call him a cornerback and a wide receiver when he gets announced at the podium. They're adamant. They're like, don't say cornerback, don't say wide receiver. You're saying wide receiver and cornerback, Colorado, Travis Hunter. Like he is doing his damnedest to make sure that everyone knows he is playing both sides of the ball, and he's not siding on this. Once you get me in camp, I'm doing one.
And here's now I have no problem with Travis Hunter thinking that way. No problem at all.
You just don't think it's going to work that way?
No, I just don't think it is. At some point, you have to be realistic. If he was 225 pounds, or sorry, 215 pounds at a wide receiver in a corner, okay, all right, maybe. But this idea, even like I floated last week, and now I feel like I see it everywhere. All right, maybe he's a wide receiver, and then you put him more as like a center fielder or like a free safety.
Yeah.
So basically his job is see ball, get ball,
which
is you turn him into a turnover specialist.
Which would make a lot of sense. It just makes a lot of sense, and I've seen that a lot of places as
well. But even then, like, guys, if he's good at two spots, teams will value that more than being great at one spot. You won't.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
If he's just good, he's not worth the number two pick, no matter how many snaps he plays in a game.
Well, and so that's
like
kind of
the whole point of the number two pick is he has to be a transcending player.
So I'm glad you said that because part of what makes me angry a little bit on the Travis Hunter discussion is the idea that when we were talking about Shador at number two, it was he has to be a top five quarterback in the league. He's got to be this, right? Yep. He's got to make all these Pro Bowls. He's got to take that team to a next level. When we talk about Travis Hunter, people act as if like it comes close to sniffing the Pro Bowl as if that's okay for the number two overall pick. And like, shouldn't we have, if you're going to put that on Shador, don't you have to also put that on Travis Hunter?
Yes. And so it's so interesting. Like, I guess maybe what I'm tired of with the Travis Hunter thing is that because he could end up being a good player at two spots instead of a great player at one, people are using the justification of a guy at a more important position. I don't give a damn how much has changed, right? Elite pass rusher is still more valuable to me as a team builder than an elite wide receiver, even if that's what Travis is. But so I want like the 12th best wide receiver and like the 15th best cornerback over a guy who could be the 10th best edge rusher.
That's what's different, right? A couple weeks ago, when I don't remember who it was, they were like, he's Justin Jefferson offensively. And it's like, well, if he's Justin Jefferson, then you sign up immediately to take him at number two. It's not even a debate. You take, if he's going to be the best, or let's even say top five at his position for a wide receiver, you don't even debate that. But you had 12th right there. I'm not signing up for the 12th best wide receiver.
And I think this is another way of talking about relevance. We want to see something cool. We want to see something that hasn't been done before. And then you wrap in, you bake in the Ohtani comps. And all of a sudden, wow, man, he could be talked about every week on SportsCenter.
Man, Ohtani's ruining this kid.
Because he plays both ways.
Ohtani's a three-time league MVP.
And listen,
like, the expectations are so high. He doesn't even have a fair shake of it if he latches onto that.
And the other thing is, the kid is a highlight machine. So he might not be a consistently great player, but he's going to make a lot of plays that get everybody excited about it. And yet, I think people are using the idea of, oh, everybody's talking about this and how cool this is, in lieu of, is he going to be an elite franchise-changing player in 2 years, 3 years, if he is merely a good wide receiver and a good corner, which I don't think he can be great at both. So you either have to choose of being great at one or good at both. And if he chooses to be good at both, okay, he's not going to be worth the relevance that I think everybody wants.
Well, and especially if we're talking in a trade-up situation for another team, what does that look like? Is that a first-rounder and then obviously the first-rounder that's in play for a swap and then another first and a second, another first, another two firsts? Like, the haul could be massive at this point, especially when everyone's dialed in. Well, and everyone's dialed in on the idea that you really have three guys that are in play, and there's just not enough selections.
So I think, maybe to put a bow on this, I think my biggest frustration is I just don't think the conversations about Hunter versus Carter are genuine conversations. You're putting this kid on a pedestal of what you think he can be, and we keep using the term unicorn.
What's interesting, though, is that we haven't done that with Carter in many ways. Even though sometimes he gets comped out to Micah Parsons, take that for whatever that's worth.
They just played at the same school, guys.
If you're taking an edge at number two, though, shouldn't you have maybe not even Myles Garrett expectations, but you're going at number two. Like, these are franchise-altering players.
Yes, he should be. Nobody's going to be Miles. That's fine. Should he be capable of getting 10 to 12 to 14 sacks a year on his own? Yes.
I mean, these are multiple all pros.
And I'm much more comfortable saying Abdul Carter, in his only a second year's defensive end in the wide nine, has a chance of doing that earlier in his career than a guy who's never specialized as either a corner or a wide receiver. I just think the hype with Travis is almost getting to the point where, and he's playing into it with the, I want to play both ways, and Roger's going to.
And he is wildly athletic. We do have to give him some credit. Travis Hunter for a segment, because I do like a lot of what he brings to the table.
I don't hate him, but let's just.
But do you love him at a number two overall pick?
The only way I'm going to love him is if he walks in as a wide receiver, and he is Justin Jefferson. If he walks in and he's T. Higgins, yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah.
No disrespect to T. Higgins. One dude's a number one receiver. Yeah, okay. Would he be the number one receiver here? Yes. That's not the bar with the number two pick.
Right.
Feels like we cleared some stuff up there. That felt good.
Well, it felt good for us. I don't know. I don't know that everyone else really is in love with what we had to say for 15 minutes, but we cleared it up for ourselves.
Pretty much accused everybody of groupthink, so love y'all.
It's going to be real awkward when they take Travis Hunter now on Thursday, and then on Friday we turn around and, hey, he's one of the most athletic players on any field that he's on ever.
I've been saying for a while that this was the pick.
They are true. I think we just both got excited at the prospect of a lot of teams being interested in a trade up at number two, and it feels very Browns right now. The way that they've marketed all of these discussions, it feels like this would be the big setup. This is what they want.
And again, be excited about Travis Hunter, but don't be excited because of some gimmick that might not factor that much into his career. And even if it does, it's probably going to shorten his career quite a bit. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.